Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, let's jump right into it here this morning. Obviously, we've got a lot of coverage ready to roll for you here from the Republican National Convention. Some of the highlights from last night, Navy SEAL veteran and Montana Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy got the national stage last night and delivered. If you missed his remarks, wow. I tell you what, he delivered last night. But anyway, we'll share more of that coverage, take your phone calls and more a little bit later in the program. But first up, we've got Montana Governor Greg Gianforte with us here on the show. And kind of like me, Governor, you've been watching the Republican National Convention from afar. Any initial reactions?
Well, first, you know, following this tragic event over the weekend with President Trump, with this assassin, the silver lining in that is it's brought the Republican Party together. It was, you know, Ron DeSantis, Vivek, Tim Sheehy, Nikki Haley, all full-throated endorsements for Trump. With this VP nomination, J.D. Vance, the party has come together because we know we have to. The Biden administration has run us off a cliff in inflation. He's made everything more expensive for every Montanan. He has opened the southern border, and his lack of leadership has weakened our foreign policy and in very real sense, created conflict around the world. We have to do better. President Trump is the man with J.D. Vance at his side, and the Republican Party recognizes that. It's great to see the unity in Milwaukee.
Trump has always been strong. He's always been resolute. He's always been a fighter. But even Chuck Todd on MSNBC made this point. We talked about it on the show yesterday. Had some very interesting callers from across Montana. He had a different look in his eye on Monday night. I don't know if it was even more resolve. I would almost say it's like he seemed even more at peace on Monday night, or just amazed at this miracle that he survived the assassin's bullet.
Yeah, and only by the grace of God. I mean, anybody that hunts in Montana knows 130 yards, that's a chip shot. And yet he missed. And so I'm just thankful that the Lord's hand was on President Trump and protected him on that stage. Unfortunately, we lost a life in the audience, but this man is going to be ready to serve come November when he gets elected as our 47th president.
Yeah, your words there, but for the grace of God, it kind of reminds me of that Keith Urban country song, but for the grace of God, go I, and really, frankly, go we as a country, and we don't often turn our direction upward as often as we should. We're going to turn to a quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll chat with Governor Greg Gianforte, not only about the Republican National Convention underway right now in Milwaukee, day three, but also he just got a fire briefing from state fire officials yesterday, not only about the fire burning north of Helena, but other fires across Montana. So I want to get his readout from that briefing for you as well right here on Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, lots to talk about here with Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. He's obviously been back home in Montana instead of being in Milwaukee. Obviously, we've got several fires burning here on the home front. You know, even as a kid in Montana, I remember, you know, we had severe cold in the winter and then severe heat in the summer. Governor, give us the readout. What were the key takeaways following your briefing yesterday?
Yeah, so I was out at the Horse Gulch Fire, which is just above Canyon Ferry. And I'm always impressed with the professionalism of our firefighters. They have that one basically contained within a perimeter. It burned 13,000 acres. But stepping back for a second, looking at the statewide picture, we have 75 active fires burning right now. And people, I don't know if you are familiar with the resource, but if you go to the website, mtfireinfo.org, there's a great map, all the fires, you can click on them. We've had 800 fires so far this year. It lists the biggest fires on the left, the Dead Man. We have Dead Man, Horse Gulch, Anderson are some of the biggest ones. There's a huge concentration of fires out in Rosebud County, mostly grass and ponderosa pine. So I would ask two things. One, please pray for our firefighters. We lost one life on this Horse Gulch fire, an aviator. It was tragic. These firefighters are working in very hot conditions, in very dangerous situations. They're sacrificing being away from home, but it's necessary work. So please keep them in your prayers. And then secondly, and this is just as important, it's something each of us can do. More than half of the fires that we've seen so far this year in Montana were human-caused. People drag chains, they maybe discharge a firearm and start something in dry grass, they leave a campfire burning, fireworks. These are the way fires get started, most of the fires. And these firefighters are putting their lives on the line. Please, when you're out in the woods, be careful. Don't do things that could potentially start a fire.
Yeah, and one of the things I know you really wanted to focus on when you took over as governor is aggressive initial attack. Don't just wait for these fires to burn out of control. You got to attack them earlier on before they burn out of control. And frankly, you know, in previous years, early on in your first term as governor, we saw where that strategy worked, where we'd get high heat, we had dangerous fire conditions, but with aggressive attack, we were able to help things from getting too far out of control.
Yeah, we prepare for fire season all year long. DNRC has their aviation assets. We hire seasonal firefighters at DNRC. We work with our local partners at the county level, the fire marshals. We have partnerships with the U.S. Forest Service and the BLM. And in addition, we've trained hundreds of Montana National Guard members so they can fight fire. If we need to call them up, they're there. We also have mutual aid agreements with our neighboring states so we can help each other both ways, us going there and them coming here. So we prepare all year and then hope for moisture. We had a slow spring. We got some extra precipitation. So the fire season has been slower in starting, but we're full in now. We had 138 new fires last week alone. And again, most of these were human caused. So please don't put our firefighters' lives at risk because you're not careful.
Yeah, in fact, speaking of fires and back to the RNC taking place in Milwaukee, Wisconsin this week, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy spoke last night, and this was a line that stood out to Team Trump. Team Trump shared this via X. Tim Sheehy says, "I fight wildfires for a living. Take it from me. The world is on fire under Joe Biden." What do you think? Did you get a chance to see Sheehy's speech last night?
Yeah, I saw clips from it. I was proud that he was on stage. You know, I've known Tim for over 6 years when he was just literally, it was him and a couple other guys in a back room in Belgrade starting their business. It's amazing what he's accomplished. He's a patriot, you know, 5 tours of active duty, wounded in action, married to a Marine, and a very successful business person. He's the exact person we need in the U.S. Senate. Working on behalf of all Montanans.
You were rubbing it in during the break. You got to have some Eugene's Pizza here recently, and I think you stopped at the Pay and Save in Saco, as always, whenever you're driving down Highway 2. So you've been on your 56-county tour. What have been some of the highlights? What's some of the good news you're hearing out there across Big Sky Country?
Well, last week we drove from Great Falls to Glasgow. We did 7 events one day, 6 another, and then 4 the third. And it did. It culminated with Eugene's Pizza. But some encouragement. We met some small businesses that have just started, young couples, and that was really encouraging. You know, the kids were there. We got to meet them. We met some multi-generational businesses, met one down in Fort Benton, Joyce's Fuel and Feed. The whole family affair, the two sons are in the business. They're optimistic. Business is good. Farmers are optimistic. There's been moisture. The crop looks good. But I think the most encouraging thing I heard all week is that in some of these small towns, they're seeing the largest kindergarten classes they've ever had in the school.
Really?
And what that means is people are moving back home and they're bringing families. I had a meeting about a year ago up in Malta, and it was really neat to see about a dozen young couples who had moved away and then come back, and they had bought businesses on Main Street. One had an insurance business, another one the furniture store, another one a pharmacy, and they said, this is where we want to raise our family. So there's a vibrancy coming back into our communities that we haven't seen in a long time.
That is some of the best news we could hear, especially for small town rural Montana. You know, more young families moving back and starting businesses or taking over businesses. All right, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, he's with us for just a few more minutes. If you want to call in and jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970. Back right after this.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got just a quick few minutes here with Governor Greg Gianforte. If you got a quick question or comment, well, give us a call right now, 406-294-0970. And then after that, we'll open up the phone lines to anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Real quick, I got an email from the Disney family in Libby, Montana, and they asked me to please repeat that fire website that the governor shared with us. I wrote it down, and if I wrote it down correctly, mtfireinfo.org, mtfireinfo.org. So there you go. Let's start with a caller here. We've got Dennis in Bozeman. Dennis, did you have a quick question or comment for the governor?
Yes, Governor Gianforte, this is Dennis Graham. I'm Colin Graham's father from the Bozeman area. Colin Graham, of course, is a major, and Brittany Graham are major supporters of you. I've been to your home and various other things. I would honorably like you to look at Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution regarding Convention of States and how important that is to this country. We are not going to open the Constitution. We are not going to let the liberals come in. It is all controlled by each and every individual state. Governor, I would just like you to revisit Article 5, take a hard look at it, talk to Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis and J.D. Vance, who are supporters of the Convention of States.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that about J.D. Vance. Dennis, thanks for the call. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, Governor, this Article 5 Convention of States proposal, I know it's been a big debate within even the GOP. I think it just barely failed by one vote in the state Senate the last legislative session, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and I think there are changes we need to make to our U.S. Constitution. I'd like to see a balanced budget amendment. I'd like to see term limits for members of Congress. So I think there are changes. And I know there's a lot of people advocating for the Convention of States. The last time we had a Convention of States was 1787, when we moved from the Articles of Confederation to our current Constitution. And my concern is once you convene that Convention of States, there is really no restraint on what the people do to the paper. And I think we have a great constitution today. I think we should modify the constitution. I think we should do it through regular order, through the legislature, or through ballot initiatives at the state. But I do have some concerns about what we would get out of a convention of states if it was actually convened.
Well, and I think that's the big question a lot of people have, not only with that potential process, but really let's look at today's headlines in the news here in Montana right now. There's a liberal judge in Helena who, when he was a Democrat in the legislature, had a 100% voting record for Planned Parenthood in NARAL, and here he is making rulings to benefit Planned Parenthood in NARAL. And he's ordering the Secretary of State to apparently violate state law and the Montana Constitution in order to get a deceptively written abortion initiative on the ballot this November. And so they don't care what the law is. They don't care what the Constitution says. They want to force their agenda, which is why these Supreme Court races are so important this year as well.
Yeah, and we're seeing this. You know, we had the Montana Supreme Court threw out all of our election integrity bills. I signed a bill that would require photo ID. I signed a bill that would get rid of same-day voter registration. I signed a bill that would give the Secretary of State more ability to clean up the rolls, get people off that aren't qualified. And outrageous as it might be, I signed a bill that said you could only vote once in each election. And the Montana Supreme Court said all of those are unconstitutional. We have an activist Supreme Court, and we need to replace them.
And the best line I heard on that front is from one of our listeners who said, vote for the sons of Montana, Dan Wilson and Corey Swanson. That's a great way to remember who these candidates are, especially as a lot of the airwaves get bogged down in campaign commercials about the federal races right now. You know, in general, the biggest question, especially with the RNC convention taking place back in Milwaukee right now, you know, the big question everybody has is things have gotten so bad under the last 3+ years of Joe Biden and John Tester. How will our country recover? How long will it take for our country to recover? Now, I think Trump showed us that we can recover because look at how quickly he turned things around after 2016. But I've heard other people also say, like Mark Lauder say, his team is going to be even more prepared this next go around. But look at how good things here in Montana are going under your leadership. Imagine if we didn't have these challenges at the national level. So kind of your thoughts on how quickly things could turn around if we get them in the right direction, and then how Montana can capitalize even further on our own successes.
Well, you're right. I mean, Montana's doing well. We have more people working than ever before. We have record prolonged low unemployment. We've been getting people trained to get into jobs by expanding apprenticeships. We've been pushing technical and trade education down into the high schools so we can get more carpenters and plumbers and electricians. But the headwinds we're running into are inflation, which is a direct result of overspending in Washington. The drugs we see in our communities are directly a result of open southern borders. I think this thing can turn around quickly. I'm a student of history. I've been reading a number of books on the New Deal, Folsom's book, New Deal, Raw Deal, fascinating, the policies that were enacted. You know, for most of last century, we had marginal tax rates over 70% on income. And in fact, in 1940, FDR decided he wanted to start collecting federal tax in advance. That year, for every dollar that you made, you paid $1.70 in taxes.
Wow. And
so things that people have a little bit of chronological snobbery. They think things are the worse they are today than they've ever been. This country's been through a lot. With President Trump in the White House, J.D. Vance as vice president, as we start to unwind some of the shackles that the Biden administration's put on our economy, our energy policy, bring some strength back to foreign policy, I think you're going to see this mess clean up pretty quick.
All right. Yeah, I certainly hope so. I think the international front, it'll be as symbolic as when Ronald Reagan took over and immediately got those hostages freed. And obviously this is, I think, even worse than Jimmy Carter. But hopefully we get another Reagan-style revolution and even more. It's so greatly needed across America. Governor, thanks for your time this morning. I know you got to run, but we appreciate you joining us.
Aaron, my pleasure.
All right. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about, give us a ring. Phone lines are open. If you watch some of the RNC convention coverage or if there's some stuff in the Montana news you want to talk about, give us a ring. I caught up earlier this morning with Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP. I also spoke briefly with Troy Downing, the Eastern congressional candidate and your current state auditor. both of those guys are fellow veterans. So let's just say they're both very excited to have J.D. Vance, a fellow veteran, at the top of the ticket there with President Donald J. Trump. But they both told me just how inspirational it's been for them to be in that room as President Trump entered the arena the first time following that assassination attempt on his life this past weekend. I didn't get a chance to watch all of the convention coverage from last night, but man, I got to tell you how inspired I was and just how motivated I was, especially as a veteran. So I think I told you yesterday on the show, I got a chance to, we did an event in Hardin. We were in Hardin last night. We did one of our events paid for by Americans for Prosperity at the Outlaws Cafe in Hardin and had a great time, met some great people. But then after that, my friend C.J. Stewart, who has served in the Crow legislature and is currently the Crow Nation Energy Policy Director, he said, "Hey, Aaron, you should come on out and join us." So they had a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new Upsalica Child Care Center yesterday afternoon. And then last night, starting at 7 p.m., they had a song and dance celebration in the Crow Fair Arbor. And it was just incredible, incredibly inspirational to be there for this. Here's just a little bit of what it sounded like. The man leading the song and dance celebration, a Vietnam veteran, a U.S. Army veteran, and then the color guard behind them with the American flag, with the Montana flag, with the Crow Nation flag, all three Army veterans, and then holding the American Legion flag, a U.S. Navy veteran. But C.J. Stewart, he told me as we were watching this, he said, you know, obviously this is to celebrate the grand opening of this new child care center, but he talked about the warriors that were being honored up front. And if I remember right how he explained it to me, I thought it was so powerful. He said, the reason we do this and the reason these dancers are honoring these warriors is because they went and they served our country and they went overseas and the Creator showed favor upon them and brought them back home. And so these dancers are honoring them in the hopes that favor will now be returned upon the people. It was just so powerful. And so I shared that video. If you go to Aaron Flint MT on Instagram or Facebook.com/Flint Report, I shared the video there. I'll try to get it on the Montana Talks website as well. But I shared not only is this the celebration of this new child care center on the Crow Nation, but it's also this is how a nation honors her warriors. I just thought it was incredibly powerful.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
The National Corn Growers is joining five other commodity groups in sending a letter to Commerce Secretary Raimondo on possible herbicide tariffs. The groups are asking the secretary to consider the impacts on farmers as she reviews a petition by ag chemical company Corteva that would place duties on imports of the herbicide 2,4-D. They say restricting imports of 2,4-D will have wide-ranging consequences for farmers. They added that America's farmers cannot solely rely on Corteva, which is the only domestic supplier of 2,4-D, because there's not enough to meet demand. The letter also says that if it's granted, the petition would cause availability shortages and hamper growers' ability to be successful.
Are you concerned about the impact government policies could have on your cattle business? One way to make your voice heard in Washington is by joining NCBA. When you join, you'll be part of the nation's oldest and largest national cattle industry organization that has a professional team working in Washington, D.C. on issues that matter to cattle-producing families nationwide. Don't stay on the sidelines. Make your voice heard by joining NCBA today at the website ncba.org.
USDA's Farm Service Agency is reminding producers that the deadline for commodity and specialty crop producers to apply for the Emergency Relief Program for 2022 natural disaster losses is August 14th, 2024. For more, visit FSA today. I'm Lee Northland.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. You know, speaking of inspiration, and like I said, I didn't get a chance to watch all of the RNC coverage from last night, but I heard a soundbite from Vivek Ramaswamy's speech, and then earlier this morning I listened to the entire thing, and wow. Now I know why our friend David Noble, who fills in on the show from time to time, was such an early on fan of Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, he had that Ronald Reagan optimism that I heard as a young kid on the Montana High Line back in the 1980s. And then that Rush Limbaugh optimism that I read about when I read Rush Limbaugh's book in the 1990s. And many of you heard him on the radio, of course, over decades. And this belief in the greatness of America because of the greatness of Americans. But what I always identified with in the message of both of them, I guess I just knew, you know, I saw my hardworking mom. I saw how hard my parents both had worked. There was something, even as a little kid on the High Line, where I wanted to work. I wanted to make my own money. I wanted to be a provider, right? There's something fulfilling about work. There's something fulfilling about doing something and providing for yourself and then eventually providing for others. And I think that's part of, I mean, now, frankly, when I was a little kid on the High Line, I mean, I wanted to make my own money so I could go play video games at the Pizza Hut. And so I could go get some nacho olays from Taco John's, right? Now it's pontoon boats and campers and things like that. But you get the point where I'm coming from, is that there's something about work that is fulfilling. There's something about being able to provide for yourself that is fulfilling. That is just innate in all of us. We don't want to be dependent on others. Now, there's sometimes when we all got to be dependent on others, or, you know, in times of crisis and in times of needs, et cetera, right? But ultimately, we want to be providers. But I loved the message that Vivek Ramaswamy delivered to younger people last night. I won't play the full speech, but I think this part is so important and so inspirational. I hope you think so as well. If not, well, hey, you can call in and tell me why you disagree. No problem.
Our message to millennials, speaking as one myself, yes, it's true. Our government sold us a false bill of goods with the Iraq War and the 2008 financial crisis, loading up our national debt that falls on our generation's shoulders, telling us that if we took out college loans, we'd somehow get a head start on the American dream, when it hasn't worked out that way. But we can't just be cynical about our country, because the United States of America is still the last best hope that we have. And we deserve a better class of politician, one who actually tells us the truth, even if it comes with some mean tweets from time to time. And our message to Gen Z is this. You're going to be the generation that actually saves this country. You want to be a rebel? You want to be a hippie? You want to stick it to the man? Show up on your college campus and try calling yourself a conservative. Say you want to get married, have kids, teach them to believe in God and pledge allegiance to their country. Because you know what? Fear has been infectious in this country, but courage can be contagious too. That too is what it means to be an American.
What a great line there, and I wish I could just, I mean, I could keep going, but I want to get your phone calls and more, but that line right there, fear has been infectious in this country, but courage can be contagious too. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Let's go to Lane in Kalispell. Lane, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, so I'm a little confused with everything as far as how the law is supposed to be acted upon, because Bob Menendez, who's been a senator since 2006, I believe it's New Jersey, was just, I mean, he's been going through litigation for a while, but he's been accused and indicted on racketeering, bribery, all sorts of illegal activities, and yet the Senate still allows him to have a seat, which is really discouraging because this has been going on since 2017. So when they say no one's above the law, how are we supposed to take that with any sort of seriousness if they can't even act upon it themselves? I have seen no news coverage on this. And so just with that stuff happening, and they wonder why the American people have little to no faith in the very foundation of what they stand on.
Yeah, you know, first, there's a point I want to make about this, if you don't mind, and I want to get your take on this too, Lane. So Bob Menendez, Democrat senator out of New Jersey. So much different than these kangaroo court proceedings that have gone on against Donald Trump. You know, he's a Democrat senator in a Democrat-run state with people who have, you know, voted for him time and time again. Whereas Donald Trump, literally like 95% of the people in New York City, you know, voted for the radical left and clearly had it out for Donald Trump. So they're not the same here. But also, like, let's look at the blatantly obvious thing here. The guy had gold bars stored throughout his house that were given to him apparently by foreign countries in this bribery scheme. I don't know if you saw the Babylon Bee headline, satirical website, but the Babylon Bee headline was great. Biden condemns Menendez for taking bribes in gold rather than fungible assets laundered by 20 different shell companies. I thought that just, you know, showed it so well. But no, you're exactly right. I think I see that Chuck Schumer may now be calling for Menendez to resign. Why does he need to resign? Why don't you guys throw him out?
Exactly. That's my issue with it. It's, you know, people can do all kinds of stuff like that in seats of power, and then, you know, yeah, they broke the law, but they can still sit here within the Senate and help us make rules, including the new a bill, H.R. 7024, which is a tax reduction for small business. It's not a tax reduction for small businesses, but it's supposed to end. It's ending the Tax Relief Act for small businesses. But in turn, with that very same bill that they're trying to do, is also giving aid to dual citizenship for Taiwanese refugees. So instead of helping out smaller businesses within the Senate, they're trying to give that money that I have to pay now as a small business owner to dual citizenship people. No. So there's just so many different things that are going on within the Senate with that that I can't. It's so frustrating because it's not just me that's dealing with it. It's going to be everybody.
Yeah. Well, and frankly, like what Menendez has given to other countries, look at what John Tester has given to other countries. Look at the billions of dollars that has gone to our enemies in Iran that were killing American soldiers on the battlefield, that apparently Iran was conspiring to assassinate Donald Trump. And they're telling us that they knew about this threat from Iran against President Trump before the assassination attempt last Saturday. And they're claiming, oh, yeah, we ramped up security for President Trump after we heard about this threat from Iran. That is ramped up security? A guy on a rooftop 130 feet away or 130 yards away? My, what was security like before that point?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. I mean, given the state of that situation that happened last Saturday, I think it's safe for me to say that the majority of registered legal gun owners here in America could have done 10 times a better job than the Secret Service did as far as securing the perimeter. So that's a pretty poor excuse that they had for security increase on their detail.
Yeah, the first thing you do is put a guy on the nearby roof.
There wasn't even anybody standing in the water tower. There was no one on the water tower, Aaron. They had a full view of the entire area, and there was nobody spotting on the water tower that was directly in front of Donald Trump where they could have seen that shooter on the roof and any roof around.
And tragically, it reminds me, remember the Marine sniper? I believe he was a Marine, if I'm not mistaken, when our 13 heroes in Afghanistan were killed during that disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. He testified before Congress. He had the suicide bomber in his sights, and they wouldn't give him authorization to shoot. You know, my goodness, the way they have tied our hands behind our backs in the war on terror, the way they have tied our hands behind our backs, domestic law enforcement, you name it, enough is freaking enough already.
I agree. Yeah, I completely agree. It's absurd how things have gotten to the point that they have.
Hey, did you notice a different look in President Trump's eyes on Monday night? Did that stand out to you? Did you see that video?
Yes, I did. His walkout to that, he looks a little anxious for sure. I do know just from what I'd read that there was reports that there was speculation of possible, violent activity occurring, which there ended up being because they did end up shooting a gunman outside of the RNC in Milwaukee.
Interesting. All right, we got to hold it there. Thanks for the call.
Studios.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, if you call right now, I should be able to get you on the airwaves before we run out of time. 406-294-0970. I still have one burning question from a conversation we had last week. You guys are aware of the St. Mary siphon failure. This water project, the Milk River, this whole water project is called the lifeline of the High Line. That's how important this water project is. There were two numbers that stood out to me last week. And by the way, big thanks to the area manager for the Bureau of Reclamation and the maintenance manager for the BOR here that covers the state of Montana as well. I think they made it clear that BOR has been communicating to Washington the challenges that they have, the problems that they have, the needs that need to be addressed over the years, right? And then likewise, on top of that, they also have been doing, annual maintenance and been doing the annual maintenance that's needed. But the fact is this is a 100-plus years old infrastructure project that needs to be replaced. But my question was this: well, why not a temporary replacement? And they laid out several reasons, right? But this is just the question I have. And this isn't a question for them because they run the Montana office. They don't run Washington, D.C. They don't run the White House. They don't run Capitol Hill. They don't run the United States Senate. But they have been told that, well, in order to have a temporary replacement for the St. Mary siphon, so a permanent replacement won't be at the earliest until like the end of next summer in July 2025 or July or August or later of 2025, meaning that there will be times in the year ahead where some folks will be starved of water for farming, for recreation, for drinking water. And these are farms that feed the world. And so a permanent fix is coming. So why not a temporary fix? And there were several different reasons that were laid out, but I thought it was interesting that they said that, well, it would be very costly. It cost $5 million to get the temporary replacement into place, and then daily operations would cost $20,000 a day. Now, for you and I here in Montana, that sounds like a lot of money, right? But again, we're talking about infrastructure that feeds the world, the lifeline of the High Line. And so this was my question. Remember when we did this statewide tour with retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem? Americans for Prosperity Montana brought Chief Clem to Montana. We did this statewide tour, started in Missoula, Kalispell, Great Falls, Bozeman, Billings. He joined us on the radio in several different hits that week. Do you remember what he said about part of why he decided to retire early after nearly 30 years of service in the Border Patrol? Part of why he'd had enough. He said, I need to be able to speak out against what is shamefully taking place under this administration right now. And so just a mere 18, 19 months ago, he retired. One of the things he shared that week that I thought was the most outrageous is, okay, so here you have Joe Biden and John Tester's open border policies. We've got an invasion on our southern border. They're allowing these people to simply walk into our country. Now, there's terrorist suspects that don't want to interact with Border Patrol and others who are known as the gotaways, so they try to evade detection. Almost everybody else is like, oh, here we are. Oh, yep, we're turning ourselves in, because they know that Joe Biden and John Tester are then going to let them into the country, give them a whole bunch of your taxpayer dollars, and then you're going to have to spend more on groceries and everything else to make up for all this massive government spending. And your taxpayer dollars are going to illegal aliens and to people from all these other countries. So they know, like, okay, we come in here. Chief Clem said one of these so-called migrant shelters alone, you know how much it costs to operate? Just one migrant shelter, and we know there's more. One migrant shelter alone, where they get health care, they get meals, they get hot showers, they get this, they get that, they get all this stuff that you don't get given to you by the government that you pay for. How much for one migrant shelter for one day alone? $500,000 a day for one migrant shelter. $500,000 a day for one migrant shelter. So this is the one burning question I have when it comes to the St. Mary's siphon failure here in Montana. If we can supposedly afford $500,000 a day for one migrant shelter on our southern border, why can't we afford $20,000 a day for this important project along our northern border? I mean, is that a dumb question to ask? I mean, you guys tell me. And then meanwhile, they've spent all of your money to go to all these other people in all these other countries. We're $35 trillion in debt, roughly. You're paying more for groceries. Restaurant inflation is up 24% alone in the last 3 years because of all this massive government spending. So downtown restaurants are not getting the business they once had, even though Montana's economy is doing better than the rest of the country. So again, Montana may be doing better than the rest of the country, but imagine how much better we would be doing even here in Montana if we take our country back, if we make America great again. And then the question is, how quickly, right? All right, thanks for being with us. We'll take your phone calls and more on Thursday's show.